Well, good morning, everybody. It is a blessing. Things are moving. Can I ask the congregation to stand up? Because last week we celebrated the fact that we were resurrected. So I want you to turn to your friend and with the biggest, broadest smile you can put on your face, I want you to tell the person behind you, in front of you, next to you, I'm resurrected too. But you, what? You've got to do it with a smile. All righty. Take a seat, why don't you? I wanted to get you awake. And the healing in my voice and my chest started on Wednesday and is continuing through the weekend. But it's going to last, amen? Amen. I'm not going to give you my all. I'm going to give you kind of 80% today because I've got to keep it back for the 11 o'clock. Is that good? All righty. We started this journey at Easter of understanding that, hey, there's a whole lot more going on with Jesus and what Jesus does. Weren't you excited about what we started at Easter? Are you guys out there? Okay, good, because I'm going to need some African amens today. My voice is not going to carry this message, so you're going to have to help me. Good grief. Can I get a coffee for everybody in the house? Come on. Text Brownwood at 97,000. No, I'm joking. Anyway, we started this journey in Easter of saying, well, hang on a second. Jesus did a whole lot more than just go to the cross. He did a whole lot more than just die for us. He did a whole lot more than just take care of certain things and put things down at the cross and do certain things. And then he died and was resurrected on the third day and then he went back to heaven. There's been far too many people, Christians, that have got caught up in the mediocrity of just serving the rules and the regulations of the cross and haven't pushed through into the complete liberation of living a supernatural life. I don't know about you, but I got caught up in that. I got caught up in, what do I have to do? What's the right thing to do? What have I got to do? How much must I do? How much must I give? How many times must I go to church? All these things, I've just got to be a good person. All these things all the time, I was like measuring myself. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not why I died. Because while I'm measuring myself and measuring all my deeds and activity, I'm realizing that I'm actually just causing myself to live in blame, shame, and condemnation. The very reason Jesus came in the first place. In fact, living up to the cross meant that I was actually undermining the cross. Because the cross was a key to living a resurrected life with Jesus. It wasn't just this thing that we did and we worship him on Easter. No, there's a whole life that Jesus unlocked for us. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a look at the concept of what does it look like practically to live the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Interesting scripture in Romans chapter 10 and verse 19, which says, if you confess that you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he was resurrected, you will have salvation. The two are linked. You see, I don't just want to be saved from something. I want to be saved for something. I don't just want to have my past taken care of and all the issues taken care of. No, I want to have a purpose to do with that. It's like buying a brand new Tesla and then never charging it. I got the car. I got everything I dreamed of. Wow. My Ford has been taken care of. Tommy will probably think that's sin. But anyway, my Ford has been taken care of. And I have this wonderful new life, but I'm going to do nothing with it. I don't just want to be saved from something. I want to be saved for something. And that kind of thinking is very unordinary. It's ordinary for us to be depressed. It's ordinary for us to be oppressed. It's ordinary for us to be put down and put ourselves down It's ordinary. It's ordinary. It's ordinary to do the things that the world will have you to keep you trapped on the life on the other side of the cross. But the art of being unordinary, different from your next door neighbor, different from the person that lives down the road, different, unordinary. Now that takes a whole different skill set. So the resurrected life is all about being unordinary. How many times do we say to ourselves, I just want to have an ordinary life? Let's get an ordinary job, live in an ordinary house, and fly under the radar. Really? Jesus was resurrected on the third day so you could fly under the radar? Jesus went to the cross, yes, but more than that, let's start talking the language of a resurrected life. The most supernatural thing that the mankind had ever seen happened on the third day, not on the Friday. And then we walk around going, well, Jesus has got me at the cross. No, Jesus took care of you at the cross and he liberated you in the grave. And so Jesus is asking you, do you just want to fly under the radar? Do you just want to be just mediocre? Do you just want to kind of make it by? No, there's got to be more. Jesus wouldn't have done such an incredible supernatural thing in your life on that resurrection Sunday if there wasn't more to it. Because you see, the resurrection life, oh, I'm sorry. Leanne, can you pass my glasses, please? Thank you so much. The resurrected life, I don't know, I can't believe I can get so excited and still not be able to see what I'm speaking about. There we go. The resurrected life is one of complete belief in the resurrection of Jesus and all that it means for us. Complete belief. There's something about the cross and the blood-drenched cross that we can easily believe. Because it kind of relates to our lives, the suffering, the difficulty, the challenges, the blame, the shame, the condemnation. There's something about the cross that it's not so difficult for us to, and I want to say this, don't just say you believe it. Genuinely accept and believe with everything you've got. There's something difficult about believing about the resurrection. Christian's been very silent there. Because all of a sudden you're checking yourself, aren't you? That's what I've done this Easter. I checked myself. Was my belief level about Jesus going to the cross and my belief level about Jesus being resurrected on the third day genuinely the same? Do I genuinely wake up in the morning knowing that Jesus was resurrected? Or is that just kind of some little pretty story about Mary running down to the grave? And that Jesus was actually just died and went to heaven like everybody else? Now you see, Jesus wasn't just like everybody else. Because you see, Jesus didn't want us just to accept the transformation of the cross. He really wanted us to understand that we need to live in the power of the liberation of the resurrection. He didn't want you just transformed. He wants your transformation to set you free. Because you see, Jesus is only freedom through life. Life didn't happen at the cross. Life happened at the resurrection. And if Jesus is going to give you back a new life, if Jesus is going to transform your life, if Jesus is going to give you liberation and freedom, it's going to give by giving you life and life in abundance. Not death and suffering in abundance. That's going to happen because of the nature of the world. But Jesus says, I've taken care of the world. Now let's go on to a supernatural existence. Can we get the second cup of coffee for this congregation? Because I know I don't sound enthusiastic because of my voice, but my heart is just blowing up in my chest. And so I want to take you on a little bit of a story called the story of Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, found in Luke chapter 24. And I want to see if we can identify with some of the disciples that lived up to the cross and then kind of got a bit disillusioned after that. Because I think we're all in that boat sometimes. So we're going to kick off the story. These two guys had just finished up the most exhaustive journey of their lives. They'd been journeying with Jesus for some time. They were called disciples, so they must have been following him closely. And these two guys are hanging out in Jerusalem, and they witness Jesus' death and burial. And then I'm gonna pick it up. We're talking about Resurrection Sunday. This is the same day that the story tells us in Luke chapter 24 that Jesus was raised on the third day. So it's Sunday. Story picks up Later that same day, two of the disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Wait, what? You've just heard reports that Jesus has been resurrected just like he taught everybody he would be. And you go down and look at an empty tomb and then pack your lunch and go home. Wait, what? But look around you. There were some of those disciples in the room last week, because this place was full last week. They heard about the resurrection on the Sunday and packed their bags and were gone that same day. The wonder of Easter gone. Now we're going to get home. We're going to get on with the rest of our lives. We're going to get going now. Now we're going to prioritize other things. We've got to get back home to Emmaus. It was only about 17 miles. I promise you it could have waited another day. It wasn't like they had to catch a boat, a plane. No, it was only 17 miles, which by foot is a little ways, but it's not like a long way away. And then while they're walking, have a look at this. They were in the midst of a discussion. Blah, 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 blah. No, it was like this. No, it was like this. No, it should have been like this. Blah, 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 blah. No, you got to go to church on Sunday. No, you got to go to church on Saturday. Blah, 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 blah. And they went into discussion about all the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up and accompanied them in the journey. Jesus, with holes in his hands. I mean, he'd have to have a tattoo across his forehead that says, "I am Jesus." He walked up to them and accompanied them in their journey. There's a reason they didn't recognize him. Let's not blame them too heavily. They were unaware that it was actually Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. Now, I don't know why God did that. Don't ask me why. But for me not to recognize Jesus, God himself would have had to been speaking to me like in an audible voice. This is not Jesus. But I think God wanted to arrest their attention and get them to understand what they'd got caught up in. They'd got caught up in the process of Jesus, not the transformation of Jesus. They got caught up in the religion of going up to Jerusalem. And they got caught up in having all their little meals and their celebrations. And Jesus went to the cross and he died just like he said he would. Yay, let's go home and let's discuss all those rules and regulations we've just learned about. Let's go and discuss our belief structures. Let's go and discuss it and talk about it and analyze it and reanalyze it and re-understand it and reanalyze it some more. And why did this one say that? And why did that one speak badly of me? And why did this happen to me? Maybe God was punishing me. Maybe he wasn't punishing me. And blah, 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 blah. Set new rules about what the other disciples still have to do and what they should have done and what they shouldn't have done. Blah, blah, blah. And when Jesus himself walks up to them, have a look at what he says in Luke chapter 24, 17. "You seem to be in deep discussion about something. What are you talking about so sad and gloomy?" Religious discussion never brings joy. Can I say that this side? Religious discussion never brings joy. Jesus looks at them and says, "You're in heavy discussion, but you're gloomy and sad. For Pete's sake, if I was walking away from a conference with the Most High God himself, as they had just done for the last 7 days, they were just in conference with Jesus." Who's been to a good Christian conference? You walk away on fire. They were at conference with Jesus himself, and they were sad and gloomy. How many of you know that our behaviors, if we're trapped at the cross, will always trap us in discussion and will always trap us in being sad and gloomy. I don't know about you, but I want to leave sad and gloomy and all my deliberations in my head about who I am and what I am and what should have been said, and I want to leave all of that in the grave. Amen? So they stopped. And the one named Cleopas answered, "Haven't you heard?" Like shock, horror, gossip. Haven't you heard? Like, where have you been? Who are you anyway? And what's with those holes in your hands? Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days? Jesus asked. And so Jesus asked, what things? It's like Jesus playing a little prank on these guys. Like, he knew. Come on, he knew. He knew what his father was doing by keeping them from recognizing him. He knew here was a teaching opportunity to break them from their discussion and their gloominess and their sadness and get them recognizing a resurrected Jesus, not a dead one. The things about Jesus, they said, the man from Nazareth, they replied, he was a mighty prophet of God. Here they go. They start reading Jesus' resume to Jesus. Always find that amazing. Who do you say I am? You're the Son of God. Yes, you got it. Right, cool. But he was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful, but they're sad and gloomy. And he had great favor with God and people. Everybody say, but. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We had all hoped, they said, that he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel. Early this morning, some of the women informed us of something amazing. They said they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. And some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly as the woman had said. Everybody say, but. But no one has seen him. Duh, he's standing in front of you. Maybe it's a problem we all have, because these two disciples, it seems that their butts were too big. Their butts were too big. They couldn't get their heads around their doom and gloom and deliberation and discussions. Oh, they knew exactly his lineage and that he was the Messiah and he was a prophet from God, and they could rattle off all the terminology. We can say all of our liturgy. We know exactly what time we go to church. We know exactly who's going to be there. We know exactly what seat we're going to sit in. We know exactly what the pastor's going to say. We know exactly how many songs we're going to sing. We just don't know how long the pastor's going to preach. And everything's discussed. Discussion about your own selfish ideas is called gossip. It's called slander. Discussion about the resurrected Jesus is called joy. How's your discussions working for you? If Jesus had to drop in one of your discussions about your service to God, your experience with God, your relationship with God, if somebody had to drop in to your prayers, would they find you doomy and gloomy and sad? Oh Lord, please help me. Jesus is resurrected. What more do you want him to do? These disciples found Jesus powerful, but they put him to death. There was a report of his resurrection, but no one has seen him. But. How big is your but? You see, because we can get so caught up in our own discussions and our own doom and gloom. At the cross, they killed him. Oh. Now, I'm not trying to say that the cross isn't important. The cross is the key to the resurrection. How many of you know that if Jesus didn't die, he couldn't have been resurrected? And there's a whole lot of symbolisms and supernatural events that happened at that cross. But the cross is just the first step. Are you camping on the first step? Have you stepped through off the porch into the house of the presence of God through his resurrection power? Or are you still mourning about not being invited to a party that you are the main center of attention at? It needs some water. The story continues in Luke chapter 24. And this is, I just want to caveat this. Go back one slide, please. I want to caveat this. This is a PG comment from Jesus. This is not my words. This is not the translator's words. It's found in the Greek. Jesus looks at these two and says to them, why are you so thick-headed? He looks at them and says, you fools. You're behaving like spoiled brats. The Greek for thick-headed is childish and foolish. When you don't get your seat at church, you stamp your foot and go and find another one. What do you think this is that we're playing with here? We're messing with the resurrected power, the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, not some game show that we can watch on Netflix. Jesus is asking you, you better get after the resurrected life, because otherwise you're going to be in this mess called religion for the rest of your life. Your own rules, your own regulations, your own paradigms, your own comforts, your own everything, your own. And Jesus is going, I took care of your own at the cross so that you could live for me. Why do you find it so hard to believe every word? Say every word. Every word the prophets have spoken. You see, Jesus, they acknowledged that he was the greatest prophet. And he was actually speaking about himself. He was saying, why do you find it so difficult to believe every word I've ever spoken? Why do you find it so difficult to believe that God wants you free from blame, shame, and condemnation? Why do you think it's so difficult to believe that Jesus doesn't want you depressed, caught up in a little hamster's wheel called work? Why do you think Jesus spoke those things over you so that you could pick and choose what made you comfortable at the cross? I can see the cross. Look, there's the cross. Yay. Praise the Lord. But there's so much more that you've been denying based on your own rules. Think about it. How many of you in the room grew up not even being taught about the Holy Spirit? It's like a whole section of the scripture. Are we under the new covenant where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit or not? Yes or no? Yes, we are. So get on with it. Why are we still living in Egypt? Under the tyranny of slavery, of blame, shame, and condemnation, when Jesus has come along, released a new covenant, freed us from all of those laws, and has pressed us on to a supernatural, eternal, heaven-bound life. Jesus says this to them, wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to experience all these sufferings and afterward to enter into his glory? Jesus spoke about afterward. Even Jesus had a view after the cross. And he knew, but because of the way he prayed in Luke, that he was in you and you were in him. So where he goes, you go. Wasn't it necessary for all of us to experience these sufferings and then afterward enter into Christ's glory? You see, it's foolishness to pick and choose what we want to believe. It's foolishness. Oh, I go here because they read from this Bible translation. Oh, I got married. I checked up with my girlfriend before because I don't really believe what the Bible says. Well, I'm just going to try this drug because, you know, the Bible doesn't really speak about marijuana in Scripture. So I must have a gap here. Why are you so thick-headed? To quote Jesus. You're acting like a childish fool. You're dealing with a resurrected life, not just your ordinary life. You're dealing with a supernatural being in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, not just some 9-to-5 idiot that works from Monday through Saturday just to eke out some kind of living. You are way more than just ordinary. But you see, we have to take all of Jesus' teachings or nothing. Oh, maybe you've picked the favorite one. I'm going to heaven when I die. That's a great one to teach. It's a great one to walk by. Maybe you got caught up in the prosperity teaching. And you grabbed onto that one part of Jesus' teaching about prosperity. And you never balanced the fact that going to heaven when you die was prosperity. Maybe you've latched onto the healing. Because you've got a disease and you haven't realized that Jesus has resurrected your spirit man and it's completely healed and will live forever and never die. You see, we can't just tweezer onto certain little connectors and say, oh, I'm with Jesus. His suffering is ours, but his glory is ours too. And we're suffering for Jesus at the moment. I'm going, no, we're not. We're resurrected. We're walking in glory. The only time I suffer is when I put myself back under what was taken care of at the cross. Luke chapter 24, 27 says this. Look at Jesus. And beginning with Moses, can you imagine? Jesus is walking along this 16-mile journey and says, well, let's go back to the beginning. And he doesn't go all the way back to the beginning. He just goes back to Moses. And all the prophets, he begins unpacking all of the scriptures and he unveils to them the revelation of himself throughout the scriptures. If you want to know the resurrected Jesus, read your Bible. Don't just say you read your Bible. Read it, study it, invest in it, find it, seek it, consume it. Because Jesus is all about giving you revelation, not just salvation. Salvation, he turns you towards him. And when you turn towards him, he begins revealing the resurrected life to you. You cannot be receiving of the resurrected life while you turned away from him. Your salvation turns you towards him, and his revelation is what transforms you. There's a whole book about in the Bible. It starts off, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called Revelation. It's the one you don't read. And Luke 24, 30 carries on like this. He joins them for supper at a little inn. He takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. Just like we did on Easter, remember? We break bread and then they go, oh, this is who it is. All at once their eyes were open and they realized it was Jesus. Then suddenly in a flash, Jesus vanished from before their eyes. Ever had that experience? Go to a conference, have this big wah-ha moment with Jesus, and by the time you get to the car park, you've forgotten what was said. Or you feel like you're on fire for Jesus on a Sunday, but by Monday, you don't even know if he exists. Oh, come on. We have these ups and downs with Jesus all the time. He's kind of there like white noise. But he's not really in front of you. Stunned. They look at each other and say, why didn't we recognize him? Why didn't I get that? Why wasn't I taught about the Holy Spirit when I was 10? Why didn't I ever learn about this? Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get the other? And straight away, they go back into their discussions and deliberations. Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrected one, has just stepped into your life in a mighty way. And you start putting him in a box and a list of things that you have to do and whys and guilt and condemnation and shame. And you start analyzing all how much you didn't do or how much you should have done or how much you could have done. And you don't recognize what Jesus has done. Didn't our hearts burn with the flames? Can you imagine them? Oh, didn't our hearts burn with the flames? Awkward. Jesus has just revealed the resurrection power in the scriptures to them himself. And they're speaking about themselves. Religion is selfish. It's all about making you feel comfortable with what you have to do so you can feel good about yourself. He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures. Our blissful unbelief or our blissful belief in our religious practices leaves us empty and realizing how much we've missed Jesus. Church, we cannot blissfully go on anymore thinking that we know everything. I know Jesus. No, you don't. You know Jesus up until the cross and you haven't even begun to unpack what Jesus, the resurrected King, is about. Oh, I know Jesus, I know Jesus. Your blissful belief in what you think you know is keeping you trapped. No, that's not easy to hear. But in this area, the church has done a great job, and I say capital C church, non-denominational, denominational. We've kept you in a great job of keeping you to a process. This is what we're studying, this is what we're studying, this is what we're studying. It's time for you to get on with it yourself. It's time for you to have a personal relationship with the resurrected Jesus yourself and just come together to celebrate that, not to build it up yourself. You can do it yourself. Our blissful belief. Why don't you go home and question, hang on a second, where in the Bible does it tell me that I'm going to heaven when I die? I've heard it from the pulpit thousands of times, but I've never really convinced myself from the scriptures that Jesus is using to share with you who he is as a resurrected king. You haven't really studied it for yourself. You've just blissfully wandered through life being a float-along Christian. Come on. Can we just get real? We've done it. We're not passionate about finding out the tenets of our faith, what we really believe, what we really stand for, what decisions we'll really make when the times are difficult, what scriptures we'll stand on. Our journals are empty. The margins are dull in our Bibles. It's time for us to walk out the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, these guys go back and they sit down with the disciples. They sit down with the 12, these two knuckleheads. That's what Jesus called them. And they sit down with the disciples and they start telling them. I love this in scripture. They start telling the disciples. Have a look, Luke 24, 36. While they were still discussing all of this, there they go again. Yada, 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 yada. This is what we're going to do. This is what we should do. Oh, we were so blind. We should have seen him. We should have known him. He was the greatest prophet who ever lived. Wada, 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 wada. And they get to discussing it again now with a greater audience. Now they've got a church. While they're discussing all of this, Jesus suddenly appears right in front of their eyes. Hello? It's me you're talking about. You see, Jesus is not interested in our deliberation. He's interested in his revelation to us. Can we start deliberating about what we think about Jesus and get to know him through revelation study of this resurrected king? Startled and terrified, the disciples were convinced they were seeing a ghost. I mean, come on, disciples. This is the guy you've seen in the transfiguration, walking through walls, raising dead, walking on water. And here again, oh, it must be a ghost. No, dude, you just forgot that Jesus was raised on the third day. When Jesus rocks up in your life, don't be so shocked. He's alive. Standing there amongst them, he said, "Be at peace. I am the living God. Don't be afraid. Why are you so frightened? Don't let doubt enter your hearts. See my pierced hands and feel it. See for yourselves." Say yourselves. See for yourselves. Get your own revelation of the resurrected yet crucified king. It is I standing here, what? Depressed? Alive. Oppressed? Alive. Painful in my hands? These things aren't healing? No, alive. Touch me. Say, touch me. Man, what an invitation. To touch the resurrected king. To see him know that the wounds were real. But he's alive. It wasn't some Hollywood maneuver. He died. But the only reason he wanted to show them that he had died was to show them that he was alive. And then he says the most profound thing, and we've got to get a hold of this, because this is what the whole series is based on. A spirit does not have a body of flesh and bone, as you see that I have. You see, Jesus says, we're not living in the flesh anymore, boys. We now live in the spirit. Jesus creates an understanding and a revelation of a second dimension to our existence called the spirit realm. Quit camping in the cross. That's what took care of the flesh realm. And now worship the resurrected king so we can step into the supernatural realm. How do we do that? Number one, it's Jesus' words. Don't be thick-headed. And don't be fearful. Your butt does not need to be that big. Don't be thick-headed and don't be fearful. This is new. I've never done this before. You're being thick-headed and you're being fearful. Jesus could be standing right in front of you on the road home today and you'd probably justify why you didn't see him. Jesus could be talking to you right now to make some radical changes in your life. He could be screaming out at you, people above the age of 70, 75. He could be screaming out at you, you're not done. And you can't hear him say that. So you slump into depression thinking that your life is done and you have nothing more to offer. Well, if you think you've got nothing more to offer, come and make an appointment with me. I want to hear about it because I need some of your wisdom. Don't be thick-headed. Don't be fearful, says Jesus. And then he says, you know what? You're going to have peace because peace is a direct consequence of living in the resurrected life. If you want to measure if you're walking in the resurrected life, you'll have peace. Oh, I've got peace. Jesus gave me peace. No, you've got to walk in the peace that Jesus gave you. You've got to shut those voices on the inside of your head that messes with your spiritual equilibrium. You've got to shut those voices up. And then Jesus turns around in that scripture and he says, there is no room for doubt and distraction. Oh, but you know, Pastor, I've got to go. I've got to work a 9-to-5 job. I work long hours, Pastor. Yeah, and? What do you think that the Holy Spirit clocks out when you clock in? You exist in two planes. You exist in two dimensions at the same time. Sorry, guys. You cannot expect to conquer the flesh if you're not willing to step into, at the same time, the supernatural. Well, what does that mean? It means when you clock in, you can supernaturally prophesy what the day is going to be like and call that which is not as though it were. Now we're starting to operate in the supernatural realm. We have to go to work. We have to earn money. We have to clock in. We have to do that. We have to sit next to that boss that drives you mad. But let me tell you something. There's no room for doubt and distraction. Don't get distracted by the flesh of this world. Here's how you do it. You live close enough to Jesus to be in touch with him. When Jesus can say, hey, I know you're getting angry. Touch me. I died and I'm resurrected for that anger that you're going through right now. And there's a better way of doing it. Can we quit asking Jesus for forgiveness for what we should have done? Oh, how did we miss him? And start asking Jesus for revelation of what we need to do. Living a supernatural life has been released to us through this resurrection. And all of this is pretty unordinary. It's pretty crazy to think that you can love your enemies. Because you see, the supernatural calls us to do that, but the flesh tells us that that's just plain stupid. Don't be thick-headed. All of this is very unordinary. Have a look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says this, but you are a chosen people. I'm chosen. Are you chosen? I'm a chosen people. Oh, no, but hang on. If Jesus is chosen, have you studied what it means to be chosen by Jesus? Or are you just going to accept that the pastor told you that you were chosen, that Peter told you that you were chosen, and you're going to go your weary way, and even though Jesus just struck you like a blinding light, you're going to forget about it by the time you hit the car park? For those of you new here, parking lot. Am I making sense? Can we quit reading little buzzwords in scripture, feeling good about ourselves, and actually go and get some revelation about them? Jesus wants to reveal who he is, the resurrected king, to you through these scriptures. Can we start reading our Bibles towards the cross, and can we start reading our Bibles away from the cross? It's a different perspective. You are a royal priesthood. What, me, royal? Yeah, okay. I've got purple clothes somewhere in the Bible. Now, can you get a revelation of what that means? Can you start living your life according to being a royal priest, a holy nation, a peculiar people? That guy just called me weird. No greater compliment can there be than for an unbeliever to call me weird. And no worse thing can you say to me, believers, is when you look at me and you say, you're pretty ordinary. Because we should all know that we are unordinary. We are different. A peculiar people, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness from the grave into his wonderful light, resurrected. You see, the resurrected life calls us to a different kind of faith, Get with me now because you're now getting the themes for the next couple of weeks. The resurrected life calls us to a different kind of faith. It calls us to a different kind of perspective. It calls us to a different set of values and a different calling and purpose. The resurrected life is one of complete belief in the resurrection of Jesus and all that it means to us. You may have accepted, again, let me say this to you carefully. You may have accepted the transformation of the cross. That's called salvation. But have you accepted the living power of the resurrection? That's called liberation. What does it mean to have an ordinary faith? A different kind of faith. Oh, but I have faith in Jesus. No, no. Go ahead and have a different kind of faith. Let me tell you something. Having just faith in Jesus blindly, like all of the religious teachings you've ever received, that's not ordinary. Unordinary. Oh, come on. Did you get that? Christians, I'm asking you to even turn your faith upside down. Question your faith. What have I really got faith in? And who am I really putting faith in? Do I just get faith because the Bible tells me to have faith? What does it look like for me to live in faith? Christians, we need to question our ordinary stuff that we've been doing around here all this time. Even the praise and worship team just this week was questioned to say, hey, try something different. Every single time you walk in this building, do something different. Otherwise, you just get caught in the same ordinary. Speak to a different saint. Ask a different question. Pray a different prayer. Read a different Bible translation. But do something to disrupt your faith. I'm not talking to cease having faith. Check your faith. Is it just blasé? Or have you got faith for healing and you're watching it happen? Have you got faith for raised people from the dead and you're watching it happen? Are you watching in faith people speak that have never been able to speak again? Lives that are changed because of faith that can see. Have you got the faith for the greatest supernatural things than just having a good time at work? Did Jesus really get raised on the third day so you could have a good day at work? That's ordinary faith. That's a given. That's cross kind of faith. What about resurrection kind of faith? That the Most High God can raise himself on the third day and change life forever, taking care of blame, shame, and condemnation. Death itself will no longer hold you back. And now I can live life like I have all the time in the world because I actually have eternity. You believe him, you know him, you're informed of him, and you've changed some of your practices around him. But you got caught in that rut. You still quote the same scriptures when you're feeling down. You haven't got a new inspiration. You haven't been to a worship set yet that's just completely rocked your world. Oh, well, Victory Life Church worship didn't do it for me. Well, then go and find a rock band somewhere else that speaks about Jesus and go and listen to them. But get on fire, whatever it takes. Don't just wait here for drive-through faith. Are you getting it? Resurrected life is going to take radical changing of your thinking to have a different kind of faith. It's going to take radical change of your thinking to have a different kind of perspective. Because the perspective of what church has been up until now has been one that judges. Christians know really well how to judge others. Oh, we get it down. We don't even have to judge them. We can just look at them. And judgment just kind of oozes from every pore of our spiritual being. You know what I'm talking about. Can we get a perspective that doesn't judge? That loves like a resurrected king. Accepts like a resurrected king. Embraces like a resurrected king. And then watch the resurrected king, by faith, change people's lives. Not because we want them changed to what we want them to be, but just because God is changing lives. Can we just celebrate other people's blessings and successes and not get belligerent and jealous about it? We need to not allow the culture of the day to prevail on our minds like cholesterol, clogging us and blocking us. Best movie ever made. Incredibles 2. Come on. Remember when Mr. Incredible is running across that conveyor belt and he gets lambasted with all of those swelling rubber balls? Oh, come on, Incredible fans. And all these rubber gets stuck to him and just grows and grows and grows until he can't move anymore. That's your blame, shame, and condemnation that's stuck to you because you're stuck at the cross and you haven't seen the freedom from our own outlooks, our own ideologies, our own religion, and our own thinking that Jesus' resurrection wants to bring. Thank you. Next slide. We need to understand that we need freedom from our own outlooks. And then we're going to have a look at unordinary values. We're living in an unholy culture. Everybody noticed that? And having good values doesn't mean to say that you're not going to live life to the full. Trust me, having good values actually unlocks a fuller life. You don't have to walk around looking like you're going to church. You have to walk around looking like you are the church. Oh, they're those holy people. They don't do anything fun. They always look so sad. Why do Christians look so sad and gloomy? Because they, like those disciples, are talking so much and discussing so much and deliberating so much. They're not getting on with the resurrected life. What has begun to consume you? What do you really value? I value in all strength and in all wisdom. And I got faith for this. Walking my great-grandchildren down the aisle. Value that, and I know that Jesus values that, and I can have resurrected faith for that kind of thing to happen. This world will not rob me of anything because Jesus has restored everything. But a life spent aligning yourself to Jesus, why are you spending your life aligning yourself to your own selfish comforts and values? And then we're going to get on to discussing having an unordinary passion, a totally refreshed calling and purpose. What's our purpose, Christians? To go, therefore, and make disciples. Pastor, you've said it so often, but you've done nothing with it. How many times have you baptized somebody? Jesus himself appears to you and says, hey, disciples, go and baptize people. And we go, was that Jesus? I don't know. Maybe it's for the pastor. Blah, 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 blah. And then Jesus comes to you and says, why are you so sad and gloomy? Because you haven't baptized anybody yet. Let me tell you something. Show me somebody who's led somebody to the joy of the resurrected Jesus Christ, and I'll show you a smile on their dial. We must have an unordinary passion. How quickly we forget the wonder and the light of the world. How often our own restlessness and listlessness overcomes our peace, and we feel that our only direction is down. But there's more. We're going to have an unordinary purpose that's going to overcome difficulties. Because you see, from the moment we believe that we are transformed by the resurrection, it releases us into a new life. We can gain assurance and confidence that permits us to try new things. You see, there's some new faces up on the praise and worship team. Do you know how nervous those people are getting up doing that? But they're trying something new for Jesus. Oh, but I can't sing, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'll never be able to, blah, 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 blah. Why are you so gloomy and sad? Can you quit all this nonsense in your head? I almost said a cuss word. Can you quit all that nonsense in your head? I paused. It wasn't because of my voice. And can we gain some assurance that we can walk through trials and tribulations of this life and still receive Christ's glory? Didn't the Messiah not walk through those tribulations to step into his glory? So I want to say to you today, as you stand to your feet, welcome to the resurrected life. Let's give him a shout of praise. Can I ask for the prayer team to come forward? I kept you longer than expected. Prayer team to come forward. I want you to ask you to do something different today. I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, and I'll probably get hauled over the coals for this one. But Troy, I'm going to ask you this. Have you ever had the desire on a Sunday morning to pray for somebody? Anybody had that desire to say, I felt like I really wanted to pray for somebody? Put your hand up. Just put your hand up if you ever had that desire. If you got your hand up, come down forward. You're it today. You're praying for people. Come down. Come down. Join the prayer team. Quit your discussions and get a move on. Are you realizing what's going to happen in this church if we get a grasp of the resurrection life? We're going to quit thinking we can't do, we shouldn't do, we couldn't do, and we're actually going to start doing. Oh, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. And if nobody else comes down today, can we celebrate people who stepped into the resurrected life today? Come on. That's the craziest altar call you've ever seen. Why is it that we have to beg? Hey, have any of you ever thought to yourself, I could never serve in the kids' church? Just put your hand up. Yeah, you know where this is going, so you keep your hands down. You're camping at the cross. Church, this is going to be painful. We're going to break every paradigm in this next 5 weeks that you've ever had about Jesus Christ. It's the scariest message series I've ever prepared. I'm sitting in the Bible Belt of the USA where the religious practice has been running for hundreds of years. And I'm going, I'm about to go African on those Texans. Because it's time. It's time. Jesus is stepping on the clouds to come back for you. And you're going, I wonder if I could pray for somebody. Blah, 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 blah. Stop discussing in your head all the reasons you can't and start realizing that Jesus was resurrected on the third day so that you can. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we step boldly into the resurrected life, but we have no clue what it means. But that's called faith. Father, we are tired of living in the comfort of our own knowledge, and from this day forward, we look forward to walking into the unknown, the adventure of faith with you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen, amen. Well, the praise and worship team are going to minister to you. If you want some prayer, there's some on fire new prayer warriors up in our team. Troy will be probably moving amongst them, getting their names. That's okay. I've just boosted the prayer team by about 50 people. Thank you, Troy. But I want to ask you, please, don't leave here and return to Emmaus. Stick around in Jerusalem and live with the resurrected Jesus for a couple of days. He'll change your life. Amen. Amen. Can't wait to see you on Wednesday. Hey, come forward for prayer. Praise and worship team will be ministering to you. Greet somebody that you don't usually greet as you leave, and have a great and wonderful resurrected life kind of week. You be blessed. We'll see you again soon.